Sabbath day, Lord. Thank you for the beauty that's here around us, Lord. Just give you praise, all of your creation. Lord, we thank you that we are free to be here to worship you, Lord. We pray you be with this country, and Lord, just help us to stand strong, to protect our liberties and our freedoms. Lord Jesus, we pray that we will always be free to bring forth your word, Lord, to those who may seek your face. Lord, today we pray that you be with Malcolm, Lord Jesus, that he will deliver your words to us all, Lord, as you see it. We just praise you, Lord, and we thank you in all things. In Jesus' name.
Amen. People tell me I'm very slow getting this on, so I'm trying to hurry up. Okay. You know, I wrote a couple things down here about today, but I think that we certainly understand that this is a day for the sacrifice, not only, I think, for the men and women that died, but also for those who've been injured in battle that have to live with those injuries. And we honor and we respect all of these men. It's important for us to think about that, you know, and to appreciate the freedom that Chris just mentioned, that the freedom that we have. There's not a lot. I think we think that everybody in the world is like we are, and they're not. Not even over in Europe. It's not quite like us. And I think that a lot of our attitudes about things in this life, in this country especially, we think this is just the way it is, and it isn't. I really do appreciate that the Lord had me be born to parents that lived here in this country. So,
Malcolm, don't you think that a lot of Americans don't even appreciate what you need?
This is so true. The last bastion of freedom. It's the last fortress of freedom, and I just want to say, it's quickly dissipating. It's quickly being taken away from us. You believe that?
Yes.
You know, We talk a lot about having, I think, like what Abraham Lincoln said. He said that that these brave men who have died here would not have died in vain. You know, in the Gettysburg Address, he says that they will not have died in vain. And I want to say that no soldier that has died for the country or injured in the country has really died in vain. It has allowed us to still be this last bastion of freedom up until this moment, and hopefully it will continue. But that does require continued sacrifice. That requires things on the citizens' part. But I have a caveat to that. And that is, I think it was John Adams said that a republic can only be held and be kept by people, by a religious and moral people. That it's not fit for any other kind of people. To have a free republic, people need to have a morality. They need to have a deep-seated belief in the Lord. And with that as the foundational basis, freedom will continue to exist. When you take that away, piece by piece,
We aren't going to have a republic. And you, I think you and I can see that as we've come into a more of a moral decay, a corruption, that and this isn't just in the United States, but it's all around the world. You know, this corruption that's going on. And the more that we buy into that as individuals, as a nation, then there's less of a chance that we're going to keep the freedoms that we have, be able to keep at the republic. Now, you might not think that that's so important, but it's only in that kind of atmosphere that you have the freedom to worship without being persecuted. Right?
Yeah.
That's one of in the First Amendment, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We have the freedom of religion to believe what we believe and not to be persecuted for those beliefs. Right?
I want to say, Malcolm, too, that the morality that you're talking about is morality based on God. And the problem with what's going on now is that morality is changing because it's not based on God anymore. It's based on people consensus a lot of times.
Or, yes.
Or one person saying this is right and this is wrong. It's not based on the word of God anymore. And that's why without God, there's no basis for morality. There's, you know, and then it just becomes somebody's mindset that says this is okay or not okay,
yeah.
Versus God saying this is okay or not okay. And that's what's kind of happening right now.
Yes. Very, very true. And the only place that we really can go to really know what God is right here, what He says, right? And for so many years we've been a Christian nation, meaning that the majority of people believe that this is the Word of God, and that Jesus is the Son of God who died for the sins of the world, right?
I mean, that's how we've been. Now things are changing
leadership, more people are starting to reject that idea. You know, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 18.
While we're doing that, when you cited the First Amendment, unfortunately, that's not holding true anymore. People are being persecuted.
Yeah, they're there.
Religious beliefs.
Yep.
You can no longer say anything about God in any school or any town hall.
Or in the military.
Yeah. I mean, so basically, that First Amendment, or that amendment's almost gone.
Unless you
break it
as
well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that when you look at it very closely, if we can get our heads out of our own, what we want to see happen in our lives, and really step back and look at what's going on in the world, we can see that there's been this pull away from these freedoms really being there. You know, back in the time of Rome, they had a republic. And then Augustus Caesar came along, and he became the emperor. And he was the one who really called all the shots and made it look like the Senate was still in charge of the Roman Republic. But the Roman Republic was there in name only. And in many, many ways, this is where we... In some places, like you mentioned, Kelly, we're already there. It's only in name only that certain things it's written down in our documents, but the way it's being enforced or not enforced is a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a sham that Rome was a republic after the time of Caesar. Historians look back and they say the Roman Republic ended with Augustus Caesar taking control. Then it became an empire, and emperors, kings, ruled Rome, right? We have, in our country today, the same thing that could be happening. You realize this. The presidency in our country is getting to be an uber presidency. It doesn't look to Congress and the courts. It's through executive orders. The president does as he pleases. So this isn't really a republic functioning as a republic, even though the Constitution is there to make it that way. Now, maybe you feel this is a little too political, but I think it's important that if we're dealing with Memorial Day, that we be aware of what is going on in our country. Don't you?
Yes.
All right. So, kind of got off on that a little bit more than I wanted to, but that's okay. I want to say that some things that will be said today might not be pleasing. There's a term, I think I've used it before, cognitive dissonance. And this term means that a person with his thoughts either avoids or changes what he knows to be true. And he or she does this because he or she wants to feel more comfortable. The anxiety or the fear or the distress that someone feels when they hear something said that bothers them, they avoid thinking about it. You just avoid it. No, that's not going to happen. Whether there's all kinds of evidence there or not. And I just want to say to you that the Christian world has a cognitive dissonance about the things that God Himself says is going to occur in this world before He comes. And we have this cognitive dissonance because we want to avoid thinking about it. We don't want to have anything to do with it. And we even get mad at messengers that feel they have to bring it. Right? Jeremiah, the word we're going to go to. Jeremiah prophesied to the nation of Israel that they were doing wrong, and just because they were God's people, that wasn't going to stop God from doing certain things. And they said, and the people of Israel said, let's get rid of this guy. We don't want to hear this.
Kill the messenger.
You know, kill the messenger type of thing. You see how I'm preparing you?
Yes.
Please, don't hurt me. But I want to say this, that whether you're preparing for some sporting event, preparing for anything, you have to have a mental preparation. You have to know, if you're going into battle, you have to be prepared for what is out there, what possibly could happen. Maybe it's not going to happen, but you have to be prepared for that, don't you? There needs to be a mental preparation, because you and I cannot handle something if we haven't considered it. And I want to say something about the time that we're in, that things are going to happen that we don't, that we have cognitive dissonance over, that we avoid thinking about. We're not going to touch that subject, and yet I think the Lord wants to touch it today a little bit. Okay? So I hope you're prepared, and that you don't let cognitive dissonance take
take it over, or thoughts like, you know, oh boy, here we go. Malcolm's just a doomsday, doomsayer type of person. No, I'm just reading, I'm going to be reading things out of the Word, okay? But I want you to understand whether things happen right away or not, that things are there that God says is going to happen, and we want to be people that are mentally and physically prepared for that. I haven't done this in a long time. I've been pretty positive lately. All right, so Jeremiah 18. I wrote a couple things down here before we actually read this. I put here, you know, we need to be people that prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Right?
Yeah.
We've got to have that. We have to have both of those things. We have to hope that there's going to be a way that we're going to get through this, and that the nation, through our prayer, is going to turn back toward God. Because we're going to read what happens here to nations that move away from God because of what's said to them, and nations that come back to Him. All right, so let's look and see what God says through Jeremiah. We're going to be in Jeremiah. Did I tell you what chapter?
18.
Okay, and we're going to start in verses 7 through 10. It says this: at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation. See, God's concerned about politics. He talks about nations. He talks about kingdoms. He talks to us as individuals with our own personal problems that need to be dealt with, but He also talks to a nation. And He deals with people as nations as well as individuals. How about that? Okay, it says, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. God would never do that. God loves us. God's got to love. You see how our cognitive dissonance doesn't even want to consider that. Because we'll jump and use other thoughts because we don't want to deal with that. Do we? Oh, we're going to be raptured, so we don't even have to worry about this stuff. Because it's so clear in the Scriptures that God wants us to avoid everything. That He's not going to allow any Christian to experience any bad thing. Do you see that in the world today? How about those 21 Egyptian Christians? Or the hundreds and thousands of people, Christians that are getting killed every day? Tortured every day. We're fortunate to live here. I'm glad I live in this country. Even though there's things that are getting pulled away from us. And this should be some motivation for you to be a greater prayer warrior for the things that need to happen in this country. We can still see this country turn around, couldn't we?
Yes.
But it might not happen either. But this is what it says. So, verse 8. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them. I like that. If the nation repents, God will turn from the judgment that He has to put on us. Thank God. Right? All right, now, and verse 9, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. Build it up. 239 years, our country has been built, has been being built up because of the fantastic foundation that we had from our founding fathers. with a constitutional government that was really, in so many ways, inspired by the Lord himself. And you know why it was inspired by the Lord? Because those founding fathers took the foundational understandings for government out of this book. No matter what you hear from modern day historians, this is where they looked. And they looked in at the government of Rome and the government of Greece. They looked at all these governments, but they went here for the foundation for that. To see how those things and the Word agreed. And this is how they set it up. Okay. If it do evil in my sight, that it doesn't obey my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I was going to benefit them. And then it goes on. I'm not going to get into all of that. So there is this choice, isn't there? And God, because he loves us, has given us warnings. He gives warnings. He gave warnings through the prophets, through Jeremiah and other prophets, to warn the nation of Israel, turn from your wicked ways. Right? They were, and he gave them signposts. He said, if this doesn't happen, this is what I'm going to do. Tells them what's going to happen. Right? Those are the harbingers, and we had that great movie about the harbinger that we saw. We as a nation have been receiving warnings from God, haven't we? Have we been listening as a nation? I think that lots of Christians have been listening, but have we been listening as a nation? Has that been happening? No. No, because it seems like it's getting worse what our country allows.
We're kind of, as a country, we're kind of behaving like little kids, really. It's just, you know, it's like you're throwing a rock, you break somebody's window, the parent comes and tells you not to do it, you pull away and you don't do it for about 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks goes by,
exactly.
And you're throwing more rocks than you ever did before, hoping not to hit a window, but who knows what happens.
You know, we try to do things through our own power. You know, this is what happened in the book, The Harbinger. The Twin Towers came down, and through our own strength, we're going to show the world that we're still the most powerful nation in the world. But it was through our own ability. It wasn't that we humbled ourselves before God and said, you know, God, forgive us. We are a nation that has sinned. Help us. Come and change our hearts. Only a few people did that. You know.
Malcolm, it reminds me of Nineveh.
Yeah.
Jonah had to go and preach to them about the wickedness, and they repented, and Nineveh is still around today, correct?
Well, the site where Nineveh is still there, yeah.
But, you know, after, I mean, it's not turned toward the Lord now, obviously, so apparently something had to be done to show that they weren't listening to God's voice, but at first they did.
Right,
they repented,
right,
and were allowed to remain as a city, but it was the repentance.
Yes, it was the repentance, national,
yes,
citywide for them.
And that's why Noah didn't want to go, right? Because he was afraid they would repent and say, "Yeah, they want to deserve."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Jonah wanted Nineveh, the people of Nineveh, to get judged by God, so that's why he didn't want to go. So he tried to get away from God, and God had to get a hold of him and put him in the mouth of a fish. You know the rest. All right, so what I'm going to talk about here, I think the Lord wants, well, this was the initial thing that came to me for the message. I'm not going to have you turn to it. I'm just going to tell you. You can write it down if you're... It's Matthew 24:37. This is what it says. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now, we all know that we're coming to the time of his coming. You know, what was the, what was that? Oh yeah, in taps, in the taps that we heard and the words. What was at the end of most of those refrains? God is nigh. And the first song that we sang in, with the worship team was about the Lord coming. Right? He is coming. And it's getting close. And all these signs are out there for us to know about that this is going to happen. And it's going to happen, and it's not going to be pretty in the days before he actually returns. We don't get a lot of messages about his return. This isn't really about his return, but it is. All right, so I want you to pay attention to this. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Luke 17:28 says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Well, let's look at these two situations. What was going on in the world during the days of Noah? Let's start with Noah. What?
It's evil, horrible.
Yeah, it says that wickedness was prevalent. Wickedness, okay? All kinds of different sin. Any other words that you can
everything
think of?
Everything was going on as if everything was just going to continue in the very same way. They were marrying and giving in marriage.
Right, yeah, and God and the Lord uses that as an illustration that just like it was in the days of Noah, you know, people are going to be marrying and giving in marriage, and then all of a sudden destruction comes on, right? So is that going to be how it's going to be for?
Yes.
Yes, as in the days of Noah. So most people don't even, because of cognitive dissonance or because of disbelief, they don't want to talk about this. And they're not going to know until it actually happens. Certain things that God says in his word is going to happen prior to when he comes. That we don't either, we're ignorant of, we don't know, or we don't understand that these are things that could possibly happen while we're still here. This is prophecy we're talking about, but it connects to you and me. Unless you're avoiding it. Unless you just don't want to think about it. And that's up to you. But God's going to give the warning. God has already done that in his word and has given us harbingers and said, these are things that are going to come about. Now, either you can prepare for them or not. Now, you and I might think, well, how can you prepare for some of the cataclysmic things that are going to happen? You know, there is preparation that any of us can have. What would have happened if some of the people in the time of Noah would have repented and said, Noah, we are wicked. I want to turn back to God. You think Noah would have let them on the boat? Yeah. If God told him to let them on the boat. Right? But there probably would have been more than 8 people. Because that was all there was. As it was in the days of Noah, just a few amount of people are really going to be listening. Really listening. That's too bad, isn't it? If we think about it, okay, let's see. There's all this wickedness. There's corruption. Is another word that's used if you go back and look at the Genesis account. You'll see that the society was corrupt. Let me see if I wrote down anything else. Oh, filled with violence. What's that? I don't know, if not in the Genesis account, but... Jesus says that at the time of the end, that there's going to be all this deception. Lots of lies, lots of deception out there. Hard to know what's right and what's wrong even. It says, if it was even possible, even the elect would be deceived. right? So it's going to be very, very deceptive. And we need to be people that have an ear so close to God that we know His voice and not get confused with some other voice. And I'm concerned about that for people.
You know,
for myself.
You know what bothers me a lot is that millions of people being displaced all over the, driven out of their home, all over the world. And
yep.
Thousands being killed, and the good nations are not doing anything about it. And this has been going on for like 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's been going on a lot longer.
And now, I think I mentioned this a week or 2 weeks ago, that and now the administration wants to bring in 30,000 Syrian refugees.
Not Christian, necessarily.
Probably Muslim refugees, which in our hearts as Christians, we want to go, oh yeah, we want to have them. But there's no real vetting that goes on there. How do we know how many of them would be ISIS people, terrorists? We don't know. And yet, here we are. We want to do the right thing for people, and yet we could get deceived by the very good thing that we want to do.
Right.
So we have to be careful about these things, right? All right, so let me... would you describe it as... Everything looks like it's always been until the last minute when there's no chance, and then things happen, right? Did that happen in both places?
Yes.
What happened with Lot? As it was in the days of Lot, what was going on with Lot?
Oh, terrible.
What?
Immorality.
The whole homosexual agenda, right? Especially with Sodom and Gomorrah. Rampant. Is that what we see?
Yes.
This total acceptance of homosexuality. Yeah, nobody's gonna kill somebody or do something to somebody because they're homosexual. No Christian should do something like that. But we shouldn't be embracing it with open arms, should we?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody saw the news this morning, but the whole country of Ireland. Approved overwhelmingly on same-sex marriage and gay rights.
Right.
A country, not just an individual
county,
the whole country.
So now, if there's a turning away from God's law, what do you think is going to happen to Ireland, to some of these other nations? Is God going to have to stand, okay, you don't want my law? God stands back and allows for the consequences of those decisions. That's what happens. That's what's happening in our country. That's what's happening around the whole world. Now, don't get the idea that this message has no hope, because I'm going to get to it. Okay? But I'll tell you what. Most of the time, because of our everybody has cognitive dissonance. You don't want to think about that. You don't... We need to sometimes just get smacked in the nose with what's reality, because we'll avoid it as much as we can. Because if we're not serious about what's going on and what we're supposed to be doing about it, we're not going to do anything. We're either going to feel impotent of doing anything, or we're just looking for the easy way around. I'll tell you one thing I don't want to see, and that is for the United States to come out of this and then everybody just have a wonderful, carefree existence where God's law doesn't matter. I hope that doesn't happen.
That wouldn't happen.
Well,
welcome.
Yes.
Isn't it possible, too, that take this message and apply this cognitive dissident thing and say, well, it's the nation that we have to be concerned about, and the government, but not our own spiritual lives.
Well, yeah, hopefully I'm going to lead to that, but Because the whole national thing comes back to us as an individual, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, I will get there. But I want to point out that God deals with nations as well as individuals. We're only going to be able to do what we can as individuals, but we as individuals can affect the nation. You realize this? Okay? All right. Okay. So, there's one other thing I want to bring in about as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Lot. And that was, God did something that he hadn't done before. The people of this world didn't even conceive that something that grand and terrible would ever happen. Have you thought about that? As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be. Is God going to have to go to such tremendous lengths to get people's attention that he has to do some catastrophic thing or things? Or just step back and, you know, let man kill, you know, mess everything up. How's your cognitive dissonance with that? Because have you thought about the fact that, wait a minute, as it was in the days of Noah, well, something happened in the days of Noah that they never were used to. It rained when Noah got in the ark. You know it never rained before that? You guys know this, right? You look it up in Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse 5. It says that God did not allow it to rain before that. It says it right there. It did not rain. It said a mist came up from the ground and watered the plants. That was how that was done. And so, rain to those people was, what the heck's going on here? What is this? And then the springs of the deep burst open, and there's gigantic flooding and carrying and sweeping them away. They couldn't get to the ark fast enough. And they didn't, did they? Because it was too late. It was too late. They weren't prepared. They didn't say, oh, look at Noah building an ark. Maybe I should build an ark. No, they rejected that whole idea. Or maybe they thought, well, God's not going to do something like that. Why is he building that gigantic ship out in the middle of nowhere? He's crazy. You want people thinking you're crazy? And then with Lot, it was raining fire and brimstone down. I don't think there's any other account before that. So, something could happen. Cataclysmic.
Well, Malcolm, if we read Revelation.
Yeah. And that's what's good about God is he warns. He lets us know so that we can be ready for it. Now you say, well, if it's some cataclysm, how are you going to, well, if God warns, he provides a way out too, doesn't he? I'll get to that in just a second. Okay, so I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 24. Isaiah 24. Everybody there? Isaiah chapter 24. We're going to read a few verses, skip some, read some other verses. We're going to start in verse 3. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. There hasn't been a worldwide catastrophe where millions, or in our case, billions of people have died. Yet. But it says it's going to be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. Verse 4, the earth mourns and fades away, the world languishes and fades away, the haughty of the people of the earth do languish. The earth is defiled under its inhabitants, because they transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, has the curse devoured the earth? There's a curse on the earth, but now it's devouring it. When this particular thing happens. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burnt, and few men are left. Oh, there's going to be people that are going to get through. Isn't there? Yeah. All right, jump down to verse 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Now, let me ask you something. What do you think that means? The earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. Not a local earthquake. Oh no. The earth itself is going to be tottering like a shack, like a cottage, as it says later in that verse. It's going to be shaking. What is going to cause that? Let me tell you. Now, do you know? I came across this on the internet. We are in the process right now of a polar shift. Anybody else know about that? Have you read about that? Okay, there's a polar shift right now going on. The poles, the magnetic north, is changing, it's moving. And there's going to come a time where there's going to be a violent reaction so that it sets itself to where it's supposed to go. Now, that did happen one other time. During the flood, after the flood, there was a polar shift. And now it's going to happen again. But modern civilization, none of us have ever experienced anything like this. Something so catastrophic as a magnetic shift. Let me tell you some things about that. When there's a polar shift, it weakens the magnetic field. And any type of space weather can now impact the world much more strongly. When I say space weather, I'm talking about solar flares. I'm talking about solar dust. I'm talking about all these different things that now have an ability that are coming through the atmosphere, from outer space, or coming into the atmosphere, and our atmosphere breaks it up so that it doesn't do much damage. Now when it's in a weakened state, more things can get through. Now don't get scared about any of this, okay? I mean, why should we?
Devastation's coming, but don't get worried.
That's right. That's right. It is. And I'll tell you, We laugh because we don't really want to think about this, but you know, if we can't mentally handle this, what are we going to do when it does happen? We have to be prepared in our minds. These are things that are going to happen. Okay, let's just get used to that. Okay? It's coming whether we want it to or not. It's going to happen. So, all right, so let's mentally prepare for that. We'll get to the second part. There was a guy back last May, a year ago, who got a French minister who said, we have 500 days until climate chaos takes place. 500 days until we reach a climate abyss. I wonder what he was talking about. You know when that day is? It happens to be Yom Kippur this year. 500 days from the day that he said it. Now, did he mean exactly 500 days? No idea. But there's something going on that people know about that they think is going to happen. So just keep that in mind.
What authority does he have?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Because this has gone on and on, as other people have done the same type thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
We'll see.
We're going to see if there is anything, you know, that's going to happen. What's
really?
What's Yom Kippur? Oh, that's the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement in the Jewish calendar.
Other people might not know either. Don't feel bad, Ron.
Oh, okay. Let me read you something that everybody know who David Rockefeller is?
Yeah.
Okay. David Rockefeller said this: "We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right crisis to happen, and the nations will accept the new world order." That's David Rockefeller. He's a very, very rich elite person, part of all those organizations that want to actually have a new world order, a world government, everything that would fit into what the book of Revelation talks about, you know.
Which is against God.
Which is, yeah, it's against God. So, just for us to know, this is the kind of world that we're living in right now, right? And we have to really see that these kinds of things could actually happen. There could be a worldwide catastrophe, some kind of global catastrophe. There is a 2.5 mile wide, I don't know if it's a comet or a meteor.
Meteorite,
whatever it is, that's heading toward the Earth.
It's supposed to come in sometime.
And what happens if it actually does hit the world? That this is what the Earth really, like a drunkard's all about. I mean, I'm not saying that it is, but don't you think, isn't it better to be prepared in our minds mentally for the things that could happen? Now, you can say, oh, you drive yourself crazy if you let every little thing. Well, yeah. Well, what meets you? What's hitting you that goes with the scriptures that maybe should get your attention so that you and I are ready? Jesus says, you know, you need to be ready at the end of the age. I don't think that we are to the degree, I'm not talking about bug out bags and food preparation, although that could be part of all that kind of stuff too. I'm talking about a spiritual understanding and trust of God. Now let me, I'm going to wrap this up because we're going to sing at 11 o'clock here, along with a whole bunch of other churches.
Left off at Isaiah.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop there with the Isaiah piece, and I'm just gonna read something out of Genesis chapter 6 about Noah. Just one verse, and this gives tremendous, tremendous comfort. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There is going to be a people of grace. Yeah. People of grace. What's grace mean again? It's something that's free that comes to us. And what is it?
God's favor.
He's going to favor us. Anything else you can say about grace? It's his power. okay? His enabling power to do things, right? Now, Jesus says at the end of this age, in the time of, from the time of the beginning of sorrows through what were, however far the church has to go before God decides he's going to take us out of here, whatever, whenever that is, there are lots of things that could happen. These things that we, that this thing in Isaiah could happen before the rapture of the church. Do you think that that's possible? And if it's possible, then should we not be mentally prepared and have given this to God? And this is what I want to get to. Jesus says at the end of this age, he says, will I find faith when I return? Now, let's get another definition. What does it mean to be a person of faith? What is that? A trust. Faith is trust, okay? So there's that's the foundation. Trust in God. What else?
Believing his word is true.
Believing his word is true. Yeah? Okay. How do you get faith?
Hearing.
By hearing. And that being, like Reggie said, not just hearing any spirit, hearing the Spirit of God. When we're in the situation that we're in, do you think that God is going to take care of those who are faithful to him?
Yes.
Oh yeah, I believe that. I believe he's going to give us grace. And if we're listening to God, we will hear what he tells us to do. And then we'll be obedient to do it. This is so important. Because I've said this numerous times. People say, well, God's going to take care of me. I don't have anything to worry about. Well, that's true if you're listening. It's not true if you're not listening. You get that? If you're listening to God, then you're going to hear what he says to do, and you're going to do it. If you're not listening, how can you move in faith? Oh, God's just going to do it. Yeah, are we getting this? I'm concerned about the church in general. Not so much us, but us too. You know? That we're not really taking serious the days that we're in. Do you really believe that you are standing at the precipice of the end of this age? Do you really? And we have things like Isaiah 24 and Matthew 24 and what it says in the book of Revelation, and we think God will just tell me when he tells me. How serious really are we? But I'll tell you why. This is what's good about God. If we seek him, and you know, this has nothing to do with fear, it has nothing to do with trying to do something, but if we're seeking God, he's going to give us the answers to these things. And I think it's serious enough because I think these times are getting so much closer that we want to be ready for what is going to happen. Because it's not pretty. Is it?
I am going to stop there because it's 11 o'clock and we are. Chris is going to lead us in a song. We had promised the other churches that at 11 we were going to sing this song all at the same time. And this song really to be sung with hope in our heart that things can change for our country, for the people of this country. It's the only way things are going to turn around and God's judgment won't be on us.
Humbling ourselves, I think, is the key.
It is.
You know, we're not humbling ourselves before him.
And who's really going to get hurt the worst? It's going to be the kids.
Yeah.
Because if this doesn't change, if our country doesn't turn back to God, then the economics
is going to be so, financial thing is going to be so messed up, they're going to be paying for the rest of their lives for the debts that, that the politicians that have made over the last 10 years have done. And they're going to go, oh yeah, I guess, yeah, that would have been important to pray more for that. And we just think God's, you know, some little prayer is just going to do it all. And it's not. We need to be fervent about this. If you love your kids, and kids, if you love your freedom and you want to have what the rest of us have had, you better be praying to God to turn this country around, because we're in a bad, bad situation right now. I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Get that out of the way. Go back up to Dan Foley's hands.
In the song.